Let's pray. Father in heaven, you have done what none of us could possibly imagine doing. You have loved your enemies, and not just loved them in word, but you have loved them in deed. And you have sent your Son to die for us and to give to us his righteousness. And Lord, we are thankful. I pray, Father, that tonight you would reignite our hearts. Please, Lord, do reignite our hearts that we might love you again and fervently and zealously with the first love that we had for you the first time we ever understood the gospel. And Lord, would you please help us to understand what that gospel has to do with soul change and with the kind of work we are doing as we counsel people and encourage them. So Lord, please do guide this talk tonight for those who are still traveling here. Lord, please protect them. For us tonight as we travel home, we ask again for your protection. And Lord, we do pray that your Son would be glorified. Would you glorify your Son, we pray, in his precious name. Amen. So thank you for coming to this session tonight. So I'm going to ask you a question now. I want to say something to you. I'm going to say things to you tonight that I know you already know. I'm going to say things to you tonight that I know you're already familiar with. And I'm going to try to help you. I know you've been sitting in class for 2 days now, and I'm so sorry. But I want to try to help you to be excited about something you think you already know. Okay? How can we be excited about something that we're so familiar with? For those of you who are married, think back to the very first time you kissed your spouse, if you can remember back that far. Think back to the very first time you kissed your spouse and how exciting that was. But now, you know, we've been married for 35 years, and it's like, oh, no, lipstick, no. I'm going to ask the Lord to help us to be excited again with what I think the Bible calls first love, about something that we're very familiar with. So please let me encourage you. You're going to think you know this, okay? Ask the Lord to help you to have your heart opened. So I'm going to ask you some questions to get your thinking going. Let me ask you, what do you see? When I read this verse to you, you're all biblical counselors. When I read this verse to you, what do you see? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. What do you see when you see that verse? Very good. A list of things to put off. Can I tell you that that is the typical response for those of us particularly who are trained to help people in their process of sanctification, all right? Again, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Have you ever used that verse in counseling? Yes? Yes? And when you use that verse, what were the things you were talking about? good hope, but seek. Seek the things that are above. Set your mind on the things that are above. Yes? Here's another passage, Titus 2, 11 through 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Again, when I read that to you, what do you see? What I see, my normal default would be to see, okay, I need to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. I need to live a godly life in this present age. And I need to put off lawlessness and be pure and zealous for good works. Right? Yes, is that what we see? Thank you. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Have you ever used that verse? You need to work out your salvation. Now, let me just say something just to set this up. I think that looking at those verses in that way, looking at what I call gospel obligations, what might be theologically referred to as imperatives, all right, commands, we tend, and I think particularly those of us who are involved in soul care and who want to help people change, we tend to take passages that are very rich and boil them down to the obligations that are presented in the passage. Now, I don't want to say that there are no obligations. There are gospel obligations. There are imperatives. When you look at these verses, any of them that we looked at, let's go back to the first one. We have an obligation to put off bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander. We're to put off malice. We're to be kind-hearted and tender-hearted. We're to forgive one another, but we're missing something. Because Christ forgave us. I want to propose to you, and it's really, I will tell you, if I have become a one-act pony. And anybody can ask me to speak on anything, and this is what I'm going to speak on. I'm not going to have any other messages. Pretty soon, nobody's going to ask me to speak anymore, because this is all I have to say. We take Scripture, and we are all about the obligations that we see in Scripture, and praise God that we are, in the sense that we're serious, right? We're serious. We want our people that we influence to be serious about pursuing holiness, pursuing sanctification, pursuing obedience. But I'll tell you what, we are absolutely missing the ground upon which we have to do that. And we are missing it because we think we already know it. You see, when I sit down with a counselee that I know is a believer, and I use this verse, I automatically assume that they have thought and pondered and meditated upon what it means to be forgiven by God because of what Christ has done. But you know what? The reality is, we don't spend enough time there. Do we? And so our counsel becomes, and I want to say this kindly, because I are one. Our counsel becomes moralistic, because we tell people, do this and this and this, put it off, put it on, and we forget that our mind has to be renewed.